Nice to meet you. We just had a Christmas. I know it feels like ages ago, right? We just had a Christmas. Here's a thought for you. You know, when you hear about angels at Christmas, angels means messenger, by the way, literally means a messenger. When you read about angels, do you ever read it and go, what's that all about? What are they all about? How odd is that? Stick with me for a minute. We're in Matthew 1 to 4 tonight. And in chapter 4, but the Christmas story is in 1 to 2. And angels are right in the middle of it. Have you ever wondered how angels see you and me? What do you think? Just think about it with me. Let me tell you some things about the angels and how they view the world according to Matthew's gospel. Angels, for example, are told by God they've got to go. An angel's told, go to Joseph, chapter 1 of Matthew. He's about to get married, and they haven't had sex, but his girlfriend's pregnant. But don't worry about it, because the pregnancy didn't come from another bloke. God put the baby in him. And the angel is told, tell Joseph the baby's called Jesus. And the angel would have gone, Jesus? The angel lives in heaven, right? He's only seen Jesus as the king of the universe, the ruler of heaven, the king of everything, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Perfect love. Perfect harmony. And the angel knows what earth's like, and it's an absolute dive of darkness. Jesus is going to earth? What? In a woman? What? Now start looking at the world from that point of view, not your own, because you're the one in the land of darkness, see, like me. Hang on, angels. Luke chapter 2, right. The birth narrative. An angel is told in heaven. I don't know if it's the same one. We just know it's a messenger. Go to the shepherds and tell them that they've got to go to Bethlehem, to a place where there's going to be a baby, the baby, who's going to be the Lord and Messiah of the world. The angels go, the angel goes, the shepherds are terrified. What do you think the angel felt like? What? There's going to be a baby. It's the king of heaven, and the baby's going to be in a stable. Come on, God, the angel's thinking. I know you've sent me on a messenger, but come on. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. When the baby's born, the wise men come. You know the story. When the wise men go, this is what happens. An angel is sent to Joseph in chapter 2 of Matthew and says to Joseph, by the way, you need to peg it to Egypt because they're going to kill the baby. Herod, the king, wants the baby dead. By the way, that's a taste in Matthew for us to know. The world hates Jesus. That's the default mode. Turn against Jesus. Don't take any notice of him. That's the default mode of this dark world. About 2 years later, almost certainly from the chronology, in Egypt, an angel shows up to Joseph and says, head back, Herod's dead. Go back. It's fine now. Take the baby. Good. That's just a couple of minutes, right? You and me looking at the world from a different perspective, not from ours, not from the university, or you're at home at the moment, or you're part of the country, north, south, east, west. Here's us looking from heaven's perspective, just for a moment. And get this, world is not a great place. Heaven's magnificent. This one isn't. Why would the King of Heaven come here? That's what you're meant to ask when you start reading Matthew's gospel in the first few chapters. We get a glimpse from heaven's point of view of human history. And in the first 11 verses of chapter 4, just before where we really come in a minute, Jesus goes into the desert as a man to meet the great enemy, Satan. Satan literally means enemy of God. The ruler of this world is what he's called in the New Testament. He runs this dark world, and Jesus has come from heaven and takes him head on in the desert, and Satan tempts him 3 times to capitulate, to get great rewards for kowtowing to Satan. And Jesus doesn't, and he wins. And the last angel message I've got for you is in verse 11 of chapter 4. The devil left Jesus, and angels came and attended Jesus. Here's what happens. The angels, a number of them, come to see Jesus, and they look at him. He's a man now. It's 30 years on, and the great ruler of earth has tried to beat him. And he's the first human being who never capitulated to the temptation of the enemy. If Jesus didn't win that battle in the wilderness, there was no new kingdom to come. Because if he couldn't win in the wilderness 3 years later, he would never win the battle at the cross. He would have capitulated, but he didn't capitulate. He went all the way to the cross when the devil didn't want him to. That's a worldview. I just peeled away a couple of layers of a different view of life, because that's how the Bible sees our lives. So Jesus goes public for the first time. Matthew 4, verse 12. He goes public and he launches his campaign for the alternative kingdom in Galilee. Look at it with me. Chapter 4, verse 12, if you can read it. And it's on the screen. When Jesus heard that John had been put into prison, John, his cousin, spoke up for him. You know what they do with Jesus' fans? Throw them into prison. Beware. That's the world we live in. John's in prison. He's safe there. He's a fan of Jesus. What Jesus does is, see it in verse 12, goes to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, which is a town in the north in Galilee, he went to Capernaum and lived there, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said 800 years ago by the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Verse 16, nail it down. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. 700-800 years earlier, a guy called Isaiah said those words. He sent them to a part of the country that Jesus decided to go to launch his campaign. Jesus deliberately traveled there to launch it. Why? Because the region that he went to was a region that 700-800 years earlier had been crushed by the enemy of God. God's people had rebelled. They brought it on themselves. They turned their back on God. And the judgment came when Assyria, the ruling nation, crushed the north of the country. And the epicenter of the crushing of God's people, Israel, was there, Zebulun, Naphtali. And Jesus goes right, do you see what he's doing? He goes right into the heart where historically their nation had been at its lowest ebb, at its darkest night, at its most broken. And he goes there and he says, look at 16, the people living in darkness, those people, and you today, he says, you have seen a great light. He's just defeated Satan in the wilderness. He's just seen off Herod. He's made his public speech and he goes, you're living in darkness, my friends, just like Isaiah's people did 700-800 years ago. There's light coming. This is Jesus. This is the revolution of the King of Light. That's how he works. We can't reverse the darkness. The world is broken. It hurts. There is death. Death. Look at it, 16. In the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. We fear the grave. We fear death. There's terror in the world. So easily terrified. And Jesus says, let me deal with it. I will nail down death, terror, horror, despair, because I will get rid of that kingdom. What a Jesus this is. That's what he comes to claim. In fact, if you did go to Isaiah chapter 9, 1 to 7, and read on beyond this quote that we read in verse 16, listen to what Jesus says in Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 5, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, fuel for the fire. He's a victorious fighting warrior, right? That's how he's talking. I am going to get rid of the darkness of this world. I'm going to win the battle. Verse 6, how will the battle be won? You'll have heard this if you've been to church at Christmas. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And on the increase of his government and rule, there will be no end. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about himself. He's saying 700 years ago, in the darkest moment in our history, there was a promise that somebody would come and smash the kingdom of darkness. I'm quoting to you my manifesto from that place. I've come here to do it, and I'm going to smash it. I'm the child that was born. I'm the king who's come to change the world. What a savior Jesus is. You know, when you're really stuffed, you need somebody to rescue you, don't you? Here's the question, you see. Do you know how stuffed you are? The kingdom of darkness reigns, and somebody has to rescue you and me. And Jesus is the only one who can do it. When you're really up against it, somebody better help or you're done for. I've got a friend called Ian Garrett, and many years ago, he lived in Cambridge, and he tells a story. He shared a house with a mate, and he says the story, and if he says it, it's got to be true, right? Because he doesn't exaggerate. He's not Welsh or anything. Garrett says that his mate went on his bike into town one night, and as he's cycling, a bunch of lads, big bunch of lads, jumped the guy and tried to grab him and give him a kicking. The guy cycled away as fast as he could, his mate. But he made a mistake. He looked back, and as he looked back, he hit the curb and he fell over. And one of the lads, big, big lad, came over right on top of him, kneeled on him, had him on the floor, said, "I'm going to kick your head in." At that moment, Garrett's mate looked up and he looked across the road and he saw a really big fella. And it was a rough part of town and he didn't know who the fella was, but he thought, "What have I got to lose? If they know each other, I'm getting it anyway. If they don't know each other, who knows, I might have a chance." And he shouted, "Help, help, help me." And this big lad comes across and looks at the guy kneeling on him, about to punch him in the face, and says, "Get off him." And the lad who's got him on the floor says, "Why?" And the guy who's crossed the road has got a Mac on. He pulls his coat open, and inside he's got a 2-foot machete. And he pulls it out and he goes, "That's why." Now, if that was my story, you wouldn't believe me. But that's Ian Garrett's story, and he tells the truth. You know what he needed? Somebody with a bigger pair of Doc Martens. That's what he needed at that moment. That's what Garrett's mate needed. Doc Martens with compassion. A big sword with compassion. Silly picture. You know what Jesus is? He is the rescuer, and you can't save yourself. And that's why he came. That's why Jesus came. Let me breathe. Breathe. Stop. That's why Jesus came. And that's what you're meant to understand by this story. Look from heaven and see that God was going to rescue this world, the world you and I live in, the world of hopeless darkness without the certainty that we would beat death. Death will not contain God's people. How will God sort that out in a kingdom under the control of the evil Satan? He will come as a baby. He will become a man. He will live in it. He will never, ever break God's law. He will never do the wrong thing. He will never, ever, ever alienate himself from his Father in heaven. And Satan gets broken and his kingdom gets smashed. This Jesus goes to a cross. And at the very moment that Satan, having lost in the desert 3 years earlier, thinks he's won because he's manipulated Jesus to die, it's the very moment of victory when the perfect human being dies on a cross instead of the citizens of the kingdom of darkness, including you and me. It's the greatest territorial battle ever known that you're reading about when you read this. All right, look, 2 more minutes. So what? Look down again. So what? Big deal. Yes, big deal. Because this changes your life if you trust Jesus, the great King and Rescuer. Look at what he does next in verse 17. These are the first ever recorded words in public by Jesus, captured by Matthew. He's spoken to Satan in the desert. He's spoken to John the Baptist, his cousin. But now he goes public in Galilee. And he says this. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Come on, Jesus. "My kingdom is here in the heart of the darkest place in our history, because I am the child who was to be born. I am the king. I am the counselor. I am the ruler. I will bring life. I will change eternity. I will beat death. I will be your king." Turn round. Repent means 180 degrees. Stop going that way. Get away from that other king. Come my way. Come here. Come my way. Come my way. Come my way. And he says that to the world. And he says it today. You, turn around, follow me. Do you see it there? Look, as Jesus, verse 18, was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting nets into the lake because they were fishermen. These are men who'd probably spent their whole lives watching their dad and their granddad fish. That's what they knew. They fished by the lake. That was their job. It was their security. They did it every day. They were comfortable with it. And Jesus says, okay, gentlemen, here's the deal. Total rescue means total allegiance. I will snatch you from the darkness and bring you to light. I will die on your behalf. I will pay the penalty for your rebellion and your belonging to the kingdom of Satan. And now, in the rescue, follow me. Not the teachings, not pointing to ideas or moralism or best ways to live, not books to read. Follow me. I'm the king. Follow me. Get behind me. Leave it. Turn around. Let's go, boys. It doesn't mean they've got to stop fishing. And a couple of verses later, that some, they leave their dad, two other guys leave their dad. We know from the New Testament, you honor your family. And we know from the New Testament that the majority of people spend their lives in the vocation that God gave them. So they don't leave it behind. But you know what it does mean? It means a change of mind. It means a change of attitude. It means a change of the way you see the world. I have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. It has no control over me. I have new life. Christ is my savior. The kingdom of God has come. I turn to him. I'm walking behind him. Come and follow me, he says. 19 to 20, and I will send you out to fish for people. Oh, my lovely, lovely friend. Jesus Christ is the king who has smashed Satan and his reign. Death is defeated by Jesus beating death on the cross. We are called to trust him, to leave the old kingdom that reigns this world and to follow Jesus, the new king, the one who will come back and judge this world once and for all and destroy Satan and all who choose to follow him. This Jesus says to us, I will send you out to fish for people. Are you surprised? When somebody told me what Jesus had done for me, when I worked out these things were true when you look from heaven's perspective, when you see that this is the reality of the universe, you've got to tell people. You've just got to tell people. I need to tell you about the great rescuer. I must tell you about Jesus. He's done an incredible thing. He's rescued us from the deepest darkness of despair that life throws at you and brought us into light. As our king, we are called to fish, to pass on, to move on, to give on, to use our skills to tell people. So when you run or train or keep in touch with your mates at uni, it's a rubbish time, isn't it? It's a rubbish time in this dark world. Can't even play. But have this in mind. You have found the kingdom of light because Jesus came to find you. How did you find out? Somebody told you. You, my lovely friend, are deeply embedded in the world of sport, even in a lockdown, even if you're stuck at home, even if you haven't even started playing at uni yet. In the years ahead of you, you will get the chance to point to Jesus and to let others escape the heart of darkness into the kingdom of light through Jesus Christ. Let's reach the world of sport for Christ, my lovely friends. Let's give people a chance of liberation to the great kingdom of Jesus Christ.